Thank you, Daddy, for the fact that we have him. Amen? Okay, beloved. Let's right away welcome our virtual church, our great big family. Welcome, beloved, all of you that are with us today online. Okay, so today I'll say this. We'll bring another, you know, golden calf into sacrifice. The time has come to destroy all these things step by step. Why are we so dangerous to the religious world? Especially dangerous. Just relax and come down and absorb the truth. You know that when inside of you there's the Holy Spirit, you know that no matter what comes your way, the Holy Spirit, it sorts all these things. It's like a great organ in your body, what part or what you need in your body. And you say, Lord, if this word is yours, it will reform me, transform me. Amen? So just absorb it and enjoy your time and be in His glory. So, beloved, today's word, message I called Conceived in the Lie. You know that we're all conceived in the lie. Hello? You know that we've been all conceived in the lie from the very beginning, you know? When lie is passed on through generations, it becomes truth because a lie that was spoken from the very beginning. And when you say, they tell you, we're telling you the truth. Yeah, you're speaking the truth according to yesterday's day, but according to the beginning of the creation, this is heresy. So what is happening? This is why we need to go back into the truth. Those that are friends with Daddy, that spend time with him, you know that you are full of the truth and then no lie can penetrate you because you have like antivirus. You have antivirus. This garbage wants to trash come in and you say, uh-uh. Who did you listen? You see, there's an antivirus. That person has a firewall and the virus cannot penetrate. So I'll say this. Today, we will just destroy one more bug. We'll fix another bug in the system. I probably know that we will see with our own eyes a generation that walk with God. Not generation that praying to God. Stop. You don't get it. I want you to hear me. Okay? Not the generation that prays to God, not generation that reads the Bible. Do you know that this is just the beginning? A generation that walks with God and listens to the author, to amens, I understand. We'll get there eventually. We will get there. You don't get it. That a prayer, Bible is a good thing, but it's supposed to lead you to the author. If it never brought you to the author, you're just a regular religious person that read somebody's works. Discovery Channel interpret the Bible according to their own way. They even find contradictions in there. Beloved, let's leave that this paper word and come back into the author. And when you know the author, I know there is a generation. My generation will walk with God. Not praying, not reading, not the ones that are trying to do something for God, the ones that are walking with God. Personally and individually, by embracing Him, by living with Him. I believe in that. Why do I believe that? Because one certain time in the past, I was in it, and I know where I was, and the things that I've experienced, I can impart. And so I impart that you can't walk with Jesus physically, walk with Him, give Him gifts, and embrace Him, and see Him around yourself. You can live with Jesus. He can be not just your friend, like this ghost somewhere out there. He can be your true friend. But because our head never had these thoughts in it, that you cannot have these thoughts because there are certain category of people that make sure that thoughts like that never enter your head. How is that Jesus is your friend? How about me? I'm your pastor. Get away from me. Take your suitcases and leave. Amen? Because your position as a pastor is only there to lead me to the author of the Bible. Did you get me there? Thank you. Goodbye. I will embrace you in heaven and say thank you, but I'm not yours. Your blood was not shed for me, and you cannot be the middleman for me, and you'll never be able to be. You're that same flesh that can just, you know, dress yourself properly. Amen? So it's all good. Relax. Pastor or deacon or whatever. It's just a regular individual before you that needs the blood of Jesus, that needs daily forgiveness like anybody else. Doesn't matter if you're a bishop or a pastor. We understand that there are higher brothers, and the ones that deserve honor to them is the honor. But Bible doesn't say to worship those people. Bible does not say that you have to listen to someone. Stop. A generation has to rise up that will step over the flesh and face to face will encounter live God. Face to face. We have been conceived in a lie. From the very childhood, from the very beginning, before our eyes, there are leaders. It doesn't matter what sort of leaders. Political leaders. Religious. Or in the world of science. Wherever. There are leaders everywhere. And you are born into the world of gods. You understand me? You understand that all of us, you, me, all of us together, we're born into this world of gods. Gods in every area. As soon as you touch the gospel, I'm not talking about the Bible. Bible has a God, the God. You know that people, if you take the area of poetry or writing, they have their gods, their leaders. In science fiction, in photography, in bodybuilding, and in weightlifting, they have their own gods, no matter what area you touch. It's full of idols and gods. So, we have been conceived in a lie. From the very beginning, they have shown us that you have to look at someone. Beloved, that is a good beginning. But we were never told to that a time will come, and someone will have to let us go. Everything that happens, churches are growing, everything is moving. We attach people unto ourselves. I tell you, you shouldn't even be part or a member of some sort of church. You have to be a part of the church of God. You are my brother, my sister. I'm here because the Lord has placed me here, but Lord, I cannot tell you what to do because I myself am still figuring it out. How can I tell you how God is if I myself don't know Him? And everyone that tells you that know God, they're liars because you cannot possibly get to know God completely. Do not call anyone teacher. Jesus wasn't joking. We've talked about this before. Do not call anyone father because you have one father. Do not call anyone teachers. You have one teacher, Christ. You have Christ. You have a teacher. So what does it mean? That anarchy is going to start. People will start writing, yeah, right against the man and his power and control and idol worshiping. You know, that's focused on people. Look at what is called the church for now, quote unquote. And as soon as you enter, everybody knows who they have to bow down, who you have to turn away from, who you should shake hands with. Everything has been, just explained to us. Love people, love sinners. The Bible says, love your enemies. I don't get it. You will right now turn your face away from the one that made a mistake. Bible says, love your enemies. You see this. Someone's turning away from a person. Oh, get away from me. You have been shunned by our society. What is shunning anyway? Who made up this garbage? Who made up this nonsense like shunning or, you know, kicking out of what? From you? I'm shunning myself away from you myself. Goodbye. I want to be with my God. Church, the time has come to bring this, calf into sacrifice. I'll say this. No one is supposed to abuse you. Even if you are wrong, allow me to be wrong. Allow me to make this mistake and find my path. Stop. You know what? Christianity is almost like the true Christianity is extinct. All it is just clones. Everybody looks like each other, like they're clones. You know, in one church it's one way, in the other is the other way. Why? Because we all are cloning. And if you didn't clone, you cannot be in our surroundings. You look wrong. We're not even going to tell you anything. We'll just show you by our, you know, body language that we don't accept you. I'll tell you this. Let's go to the very beginning. Very beginning. Everything was created this way that you and God, we were together. Some people say, who will tell them about God? Beloved, listen. They found, researchers found these islands where people believed in God. They didn't even have the Bible. And then the signs and wonders, historically proven. There was no one that preached to them. They all walked in power and glory and signs and wonders. On these, just aborigine people up on islands, nobody knows how, who told them about God. God told them about God. By telling and teaching you, I place you into these boxes and I limit you. Instead of taking you to, bringing you to the Lord and tell you, start, you know, having a relationship with Him. And in the process, I want to see what the Lord will do with you, because God does very unique things with every one of us, and we have to learn from each other. Someone is moving in the prophetic. Someone sings. Someone creates whatnot, certain elements in this world, and we use them. Oh, this is of the world. You know that there is no terminology like that. That is worldly. They don't have that word. Then you're dressed in the worldly things. You have a worldly phone, worldly shoes, and worldly things. You drove a worldly car and drank worldly tea. There isn't a terminology like this. There is humanity. There's people. We create everything. What we invest into it is that's what makes it that particular thing. Made up all these nonsense and all these words. Everything that our Heavenly Father does, it is all is to bring us back into our very beginning, the condition that we were in to begin with, when then there is no, you know, prophets. What do you mean? Old Testament had prophets. God needed prophets because He couldn't touch His people like that. That's why He selected people and He would tell, go and tell him. And He worked with that person. That time is over. God wants to communicate or just converse with every one of us. I beg you, just move all these idols aside, all these prophets and preachers, and say, Lord, what will you tell me? Invite him into your life this one time. Stop being hooked on me, on prayer, on churches, at encounters. Say, God, I want you. I desire you. How is it that the Lord chose David? Or what's sort of theological institute did he finish? Who was he studying with? Who taught him? Whose Bible did David read? No, let's just be truthful with ourselves. Nothing. Nothing. Zero. The history tells us he grew up upon a field with sheep as a small child. No one taught him anything. The Lord looked and said, here's this individual that completely sold out to me. Beloved, depart from all of this religious trash, from all this membership and all these clubs, and you'll see what the Lord will do with you. You'll see when all these boxes and limits will pass away from you, and you will see that God can create such things that you can't even comprehend. No one can understand. Oh, Jesus, I pray you guys understand me, family, because I'm speaking from the heart. I want you to understand today what I'm saying, because I'm just sick of it. That it's an occasional man that's standing before another man instead of God. You know, it's an epidemic. Right now, you have some sort of book. Maybe it's a good book. But you are attached to the author of that book. Let's go back to the original. There weren't any books. There weren't authors. There weren't any teachers. There was you and there was God. God wants to take you back. We're too busy reading, playing, listening, and worshiping. And there's always some sort of idol before us. I'm not against that. God always chose individuals and they were moving, but the problem is this person has to let go at the right time and not create a cult and say, this is worship. We don't know what worship is because everything that you know about worship is Jesus culture, Hillsong, and a couple of other groups, and that's it. And that's worship. That's great beginning, church, yes. We don't know what is worship. It's not guitars and microphones. It is coming out of your bodies, trances. It's visitations of the kingdom. True worship. I believe that we're heading that way. I'm so thankful to God that in heaven that this preaching will be over. I tell you the truth. I will be happy to just put all everything aside, everything that I'm doing, and just roll around in God's glory, in my Father's arms. Seriously. Some say, what am I going to do there? Praise the Lord, nothing. Nothing. Finally, you'll understand they've been created not to do anything. And if we are doing something, it flows out of love towards Him. What do you mean? What do you mean? What am I going to do? Who told you that this is what has to happen with you? Pastor? And if he did, then you're trouble. If God didn't tell you to do it, why are you doing it? Till this day, I didn't come into my calling. What is your calling? Did God tell you anyway? Ask questions. Where are you heading anyway? Who gave you these ideas that you have to go somewhere, have to be someone? Who gave you this goal? God? No, man? Yeah? Feathers are flying. You understand me? Let's for a moment go back into the original where and what we have been created for. Eden. First of all, you returning to Eden. What is Eden? Eden is God's Sabbath, rest. You understand me? This is why some people, you know, grew out their beards and they became the Latter-day Saints. And they don't understand that you don't have to not do anything on Sabbath but blow the shofar and just rest. No, you have to be in the Sabbath, but not on physical Sabbath or Saturday. Eden is Sabbath. The Lord was at peace and He relaxed everyone. Tell me. With God, after Sabbath, you have to understand me, this revelation. After Sabbath, did it yet Sunday? No. Even worse. How about Monday? So, I tell you all you the Latter-day Saints, you enter the Sabbath once and you never come out of it. Get it? I hope that you guys got it. If with God, you enter the Sabbath day in a spiritual sense, in His rest with Him, and you remain there forever. You can blow the shofar every day. You're in the Sabbath. Monday will be in the physical realm, but in the spirit realm, you have to depart from all work and just be at rest. The Lord is resting. You know what Sabbath is? Sabbath is period, done, finished with all creation. Sabbath, it is finished. Sunday and Monday and Tuesday did not come after Sabbath. It was finished. Seventh day, bam, the end of it all. And He says, children will be with Me. They'll live with Me in this day, whole eternity. Did you get this revelation? I hope you got it. This simple revelation. The first day didn't start. Sunday didn't start. That's it. Movement started. Look. So, the place of our existence is Eden. Our Father is God. Not a pastor. Not some sort of high priest or deacon or bishop or him or her. You know, there's even a parable. I remember when I was growing up in former USSR. Do it with us. Do it like we do. And do it better than us. Even in USSR, they had progressive thinking. With us, it's this way. Do it with us, And Lord have mercy, you're going to do it like us. If you're going to do better than us, that's it. You're going to be kicked out. You're going to be shunned. That's the law of religion. Lord have mercy, if you're going to do something better than us. Look, and we have been created to be with him always. You have not been created for work. You know why you work? Because you live in the curse. You got it. Work is curse. That's some serious ammunition right there. In the Bible, it is written that now you will work and sweat for your bread. You know what the Lord said? Sania, I'm sorry. Monday's for you. Monday started. I'm sorry. The Lord said, I'm sorry. You did it yourself. I told you to sit and no, you went to work. Now you work. Angels, guard the gates to Eden and let them have life beginning with Monday. So, plan, Lucifer's plan is in this. Satan's plan is hidden in this. You know why we're conceived in the lie? Because we can't get to the very core of it. When we get to the very meaning, to the very core, you will take down all of the middlemen between God and men. Woe to everyone who stands between God and men. You have to understand me. This is nonsense from Old Testament that God voided. There was one middleman. His name was and is Jesus. And when he interceded, you no longer need that. He's on the right hand of God. And now you are living in the love of the Father. Who has the right to stand between me and God? I am sorry for those that are watching us until this day. They tell them, do not go, do not listen, don't watch, don't do this. I feel sorry for all of you because you know, I feel sorry for you that are, is that man between God and a person, or you're that person that has a middleman, some sort of person, because that middleman does not know where he's heading himself. Ask that middleman questions. Ask him questions. Where are we heading? Where are we going? I'm following you, right? Explain to me the future, our future. Oh, brother, pray. I'm praying, the Lord said, to leave you. No, this is not a revelation from God. How are you going to survive without us? You don't get it. I cannot live with you. Without you, I can easily live and exist and flourish. We've been hooked upon people. We're born into a structure. Born into a structure. Get rid of the human structure. It's been created by men. There's a church of Christ that cannot be fit into the building. It doesn't mean walls. When God created the church, there was nothing. What we see right now, again, I say this is not a church. It's a building where church comes together for communion, for joy, for testimonies. And then we go onto his field to bless his kingdom and to share the kingdom. Some people say, how about Jesus said, go, now go. Preach the gospel. Stop. You don't get it. This is the most simple thing that Jesus said. I'm explaining to you. In your understanding, it means I have to work. I have to, you know, pass out tracts. I have to do plays, rent buildings. Jesus said, stop. I didn't say to do this. I said, go and share the gospel that the kingdom of God is near you, at hand. You came to work and you said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of God is at hand. And said, the one that will open the door, you'll work with that person. If they don't open the door, just keep on walking. You understand what ministry to Jesus is. You're simply living. And where you at, you just share the fact that the kingdom of God is at hand. For those that don't know, kingdom of God is within you. You want to enter the kingdom of God? You know that you're forgiven? Yeah? Yeah. You just have to accept it. Just sign that contract. I'm forgiven. You know that you are loved by God. No one hates you. No one's angry at you. 2,000 years ago, you've been forgiven. This is what it means, serving the Lord. We've made up all these different things, and now we have goals to enter into this calling. First, we build it all up around us, these structures, movements, schools, so much stuff. And then, God, I'm still not in my call. You're not even supposed to be there. Who made up all these pedestals, schools? Oh, you have one school. Is it your prayer closet? I'm sorry. I'm old-fashioned. I believe that David's are rising up. They don't need schools. I believe that they have God that will do his work without a school. I'm sorry. I'm old-fashioned, according to the Bible. I believe that God will speak with you, and you don't even need to do anything for it. Just say, Daddy, come. Daddy, come. Come, I'm waiting for you. I'm making time for you. I'm cutting off this part of the curse. I mean, part of work. So you could come and visit me. The plan of Lucifer was, and is to this day, that any way to disconnect us from the Lord, any way possible. Listen, this is the key. Any way, so not you or God wouldn't be together. Remember what happened with Job, how they spoke bad, about certain people to God. And the other thing, what's important, is to come here onto this earth and tell you how God is so unachievable. He's so angry. He's full of wrath and he has problems with you. Tell me, who is taking up this role right now? Religion. This is his sister. Hello. This is his sister. He's been created by Satan in hell to keep people. Lord, have mercy. You touch Jesus. You know that you can touch him as a sinner or as a righteous, halfway righteous, with a problem or without a problem, anyone. Jesus does not care about your sin. Can someone just finally figure this out? He never cared about your sin, ever. Oh, you, Lord, I'm so unholy, unclean. You're so holy. I cannot possibly be near you. How do we lose it? The Lord said, if you made a mistake or you dirty yourself a little bit, come to me. I'm for you. You wouldn't need me if you wouldn't have made any mistakes or sinned or things like that. The plan of Lucifer is in any way to disconnect us from God and not allow our relationship with him. So make us, you know, dirty in the eyes of God. And then also make God kind of different in our eyes, not exactly distort image of God. This is the function of the religion, is to disconnect you from God and to prove to you that you are so unworthy of him. Proving you're not worthy of God, you cannot. Now, there are holy people right here that will bring the prayer before you. They will tell you what God likes. They will tell you what God does not like. They will tell you what steps you have to take. Oh, I know how they're angry when they listen to these messages because I dream about releasing my generation to Jesus. Again, I tell you, you don't need me. I'm only needed for one purpose, to tell you that you don't need me. Great revelations. Very deep, right? Yeah, I'm that person that does not need worshipers. I really don't care who loves me or who hates me. What's important for me is to fulfill his will and to bring you back into Jesus Christ. And I want to see what's going to happen with you when he will touch your heart. Amen? Allow him. I beg you, stop placing me on some sort of pedestals or some sort of singers or preachers. Stop doing it. You're limiting God. Through my prisms, you can't see him. I'm a sorry image or likeness what is out there. I beg you, go to the original. I'm in the process of transformation. Do not look at me. You can look at me and say, oh, wow, he's in the process. It's like Paul said, like, you know, copy me or do the things that I do because I do what Christ does. Look what I'm doing. Lord, come into my life. This is what you do. Pray the same way. It doesn't mean like you have to worship me. Look at me. Look at me. And I will follow Christ. This is the religious mindset. In the original, it says, do like me because I do what Christ is doing. In other words, be attracted to Christ or try to follow him like I do it. Amen? Get it? He'll say, some say, a riot will happen. Yeah, holy riot. Holy riot. Let holy riots start against religious nonsense and control. All these preachers and deacons, they don't know what to do when someone leaves their church. Everyone will leave. At some point in life, they will leave you. You should know that. They will leave. Everyone will leave your church, so let them go. And repent before God. These are not your people, and they will never be your people. You don't even belong to yourself. Made up all these kingdoms and governments. Whose are you? Christ's. Really? I beg you, please, beloved, do not be anybody's. Be Christ's. To belong to Christ. The main function of religion is to disconnect you from God. Don't believe me? Try. Try to do something over there that you want. Right away, police will come. The firefighters, and they will say, what is this that you're allowing yourself? In the temple before the holiness of the Lord? What is it that you're allowing yourself? How are you dressed? What do you mean? What you say, Daddy? He is our powerful, omnipotent, great God. What do you mean, Daddy? For you, he is Lord Almighty because you don't know him. He's so far away. For me, he's my Daddy. Okay? Daddy. That I'm with him every day. Yes, he might spank me, but he loves me. You speak to the great, all-powerful, Almighty God. I will be speaking with my Daddy. Amen? And then we'll see what you're going to get. Or how you're going to get it. Look. Function of religion is to prove to you that you are unworthy of God. From the very beginning, you'll hear these words from teachings, from prayers, from talking to someone from home groups, you are unworthy of God. I tell you, this is nonsense. You are worthy of God. Otherwise, God wouldn't have sent his best and didn't pay the most highest price in all of creation. Just because you are worthy of him, he gave his one beloved son. You are worthy of him, and really, really worthy of him, because you are his son and daughter. So let's just remove this garbage. Oh, I'm so humble and, you know, dust in the wind. Oh, the devil doesn't even behave this way. Let's calm down. He is dust in the wind, for sure. But he does not have such low self-esteem as some of us do. Let's relax. He says, you are my children. That's a great revelation. You guys got it? Hallelujah. Just relax. Just breathe. You're in the family of God. Man, look, we can have joy and smile. Look, run away from there where there is a middleman between man and God. Again, I say, run away from there. As soon as I will be a middleman between you and God, run away. Again, I'll tell you, if I am for any one of you, if I'm a middleman, don't do this, don't do that. This is not of God. This is God. Stop. Run away from here. Because that will turn into a cult or some sort of sect. Right away, I'll tell you this. I will be the first one running away. I didn't sign up for anything. I'll pack my suitcases and go for it. I am following my father. And I will go with you only if you are not going to follow me. You will go together with me after the father. Please, you're my family. You're my brothers and sisters. And don't you dare. It's a sin if I'll say, I am your father. Follow me. I know how it is. I don't know anything. I only saw 1% from 1%, and probably exaggeration anyway. I don't know anything, church. Again, I tell you, to follow me or someone like me, it's stupid. I cannot be an original. I'm the same way as you. I see through this looking glass. I come out here just like you, and I share my revelations, and I believe that when you will start, if you're not having a great relationship with God, once you will start that, you'll see what the things that He will tell you. You say, oh, I don't have a church to release. Do you need that? Right now, on Facebook, you have more followers than some churches. You don't get it. You don't understand what time we are alive in. Up on your YouTube channel, there are more subscribers than some churches. I beg you, you have ways of reaching people. Write music, poetry, influence them. Oh, I didn't make it. What? You didn't make it because you didn't have a guitar in your hands? You didn't make it because you don't have a podium and you weren't preaching? What, you believe into the suit of penguin suit? Why? Because you don't sing, you're not speaking, and the cameras are not filming you. So what? You know that we build up all this nonsense and we're trying to achieve this pile of garbage that we made up. We call this nonsense, our calling and destinies. You know, some of us, the Lord places to do certain things, but it doesn't mean that you have to be there. The Lord's to do something else, we'll do whatever it is He says. You have influence. You have outlets. You don't need buildings. You don't need guitars, microphones, keyboards, and even a voice to influence this world. You have outlets right now. Your phone is connected to thousands of people. Influence. Speak about Him. If we all of us will start not posting a pink skirt, beautiful shoes, I'll start posting God. Can you imagine what's going to happen? I'm not against that. Go ahead, post it. Your wonderful things. It's okay. But listen, when there's just complete trash and there's no God, feel sorry. Just look at these photos. There's nothing. Everybody's smiling. Probably do the same thing when you look at photos. Influence. Stop achieving the things that idols that someone told you to, or certain things someone told you to do. This is a position that the Lord has for you. It's not a position. God doesn't have that. God didn't tell you that. We're killing that golden calf right now. This holy cow. We're told you to influence. He told you to speak. When you'll need a platform, He'll give it to you. But don't consider that this platform is my platform. But God didn't tell you, achieve His platform. It's not yours. You don't need it. Truthfully, I don't even need it. Seriously. Because I'm standing here, and I don't know why I'm standing here. Probably I have to. I put everything under the question. Even the good things. Why are you here? you came to church. We didn't kill that holy cow, huh? You didn't come to church. You're the church. You came into the building. When you say, I'm going to church, no, we're going into the building. To do what? Church has to come together and have a communion. Do not say, we're coming together. We need to take up some money. We need new toilets. I have one at home. Yes. Relax. If God needs to do something, even in the building, He'll open the doors and it'll happen. You need to crawl here for half an hour and say, oh, please give me a dollar. We need things. If you really look at this world that's been created by Lucifer, you'll notice that everything around has one function. As soon as you leave these doors, one function. The world has this one function. Look. To lead you astray, to make you busy so you wouldn't even think that there's something on the other side of this world. Something exists. Something is out there. As soon as you come out, right away, advertisement, cars, people, clothes, electronic things, everything around you right away just takes you out of the reality of God. Second thing, when you leave, when you leave the created world and enter into the world that's been created by God, mountains, flowers, forests, lakes, birds, what happens? God starts to speak to you. You're not even thinking about it right away. You're not distracted. You're even more connected. Even people that don't know God, they start thinking about something higher. Let's just sit on the tree stumps, gathered some mushrooms. It's a fungus, big fungus. And then the Lord starts speaking with you. Go and speak with God. Disconnect yourself from all these things. Just breathe. Look. This is why the Satan and religion hate this movement, because our main function is to return these children back to the Father. This is why some say, it's an epidemic. Everybody is listening to Shapovalov. They left their churches. Great multitudes. Amen. They're not leaving churches. Hello. They're leaving your messed up building where you are trying to control every step, every breath, every prayer, every hand raising. I just wanted to laugh today. Поднятие рука. Merry Christmas. Come on, they're leaving. What should we do? Let's continue forbidding them listening or whatnot, persecute them. That's even better for the rest of them, for them to leave this religious nonsense. Again, I tell you, where's this idea from? That if you leave the church, that the Lord left your life. Who made up this thing? These leaders, they made it up to control these people, their profits, and their losses. Everything is controlled. You leave, they made the structure, and now we're controlling. No, you're a free individual. You're there where you want to be, and you're not there where you don't want to be. If you don't want to be there, don't be there. And for the rest of them, the rest of you, come on out. And the faster the better. Listen. No one ever leaves the church of God, because what he creates, he is there. And how you say, when you say God come, he's not there. He's not where he does not create. Where he created something, he cannot leave it. He's God. If he leave from the planet Earth, out of this life, our world will stop spinning. Everything will just die off. God went on vacation. He is still, God is a part, an element of life in everything that we have. Life is God. You know that even unbelievers, they have God in them, because he breathed the breath of life into them. When he created them, it was just a piece of meat. Amen? Just a piece of meat. And then he breathed into it. And this connection happened. Flesh and spirit come together, and soul comes in. And that's you and me. Everything that's alive on this earth has a part of God in them. And God is in what he creates. You don't need to invite him there, because he didn't create that. If you say, God, come, no. You leave. Did you guys get that revelation? You don't need to call him where he didn't create something. go where he creates something. In the forest, you'll have more anointing than some churches, buildings. Lucifer himself was the first one that was between man and God. Lucifer became the first middleman. Before that, everything was all good. Adam, Eve, God, Father, every day, in the coolness of day, enjoying, walking. They're friends, they're learning. No one needs a middleman or archbishops or whatnot. No one's collecting money. It's all good. Eden, Sabbath, me and Daddy, no one else. And here, this wonderful one moment when Daddy was in the home, he went and he had some business to take care of. A serpent comes. And look at what serpent is doing. You know, a serpent, he was the first middleman or middle thing between God and men. You know why God hates middlemen? Because it's a representation of Satan himself. No one can be between you and God ever. It's just you and God. God will take care of everything else. Oh, you're not going to hear his voice. Stop, stop, stop. He'll talk to you in such a way that you will not be able not to hear him. You know that with God, he has his language for every one of us. His own language. The best. Only I can understand him when he speaks to me in my certain language, and no one around you might not understand it, but you get it. God knows how to talk to you. This is why I love my Father. This is why I say, I move all the other people away. I said, get away, get away. Allow me to get to know God. Oh, you cannot get to know God because we know God more. Well, tell me about him. Well, God is big. That's it. And I just pray, brother. Look, Lucifer, Satan, he was the first one that did it. Look, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature on the field which the Lord God has made. And Satan, that's where he started it all. He entered the serpent and he said to the woman, can it really be that God has said you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, and you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. And right away, this is what happens. This is a prayer of intercession. That's where it started. There's God right there. Hear me. I have this thought. What? They couldn't ask God? None of you asked this question. There's Satan. There's Eve. Why grasp that fruit? Father's going to come right now. Daddy's going to come. As soon as you ate it, he came right away, didn't he? Why didn't you wait 10 more minutes? You know, you ate and then you used the leaves to cover up. Stop. Let's just calm down. You know what they had to say? They should have said this. A serpent, it's okay, you're cool, you know, and all. We understand, yes. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but let me ask my father. You see where the problem is at. And this is the problem, beloved, still happening. It flows in the DNA. And the devil understood, let's create a cult, a Christian religious cult, where the serpent will be representing the ideal. The snake, the serpent, will tell you what you can, what you cannot, where you could. Remember when Jesus came, listen, this is not for children. Listen, when Jesus came to earth in the flesh, you remember that same serpent of old, he tried to do the same thing. You remember? He tried. He comes and says, hi. What's up? Do you want to eat? Of course. Why don't you make bread out of these rocks? Get behind me, Satan. You know what's interesting thing is? He says, it is written. Jesus was basing every single word upon the Father. He said, I don't need you because I have my daddy. Get away from me. Because it is written, not just by bread alone men will live, but with every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It says that, I don't need you. I'm eating that. All these things, all of Jesus' temptations, look, you'll see how he tried to come between Jesus and God and tell him what Bible really is telling. get on this mountain, on the edge of the temple. And remember, he tried using the scripture. And then the wings of the angels will capture you and carry you, the serpent of old. Look. And the interesting thing is, he says, I'll give you everything. And remember, the last thing he told is like cherry on top. If you will bow before me, Satan just couldn't handle it. That's it. He says, everything is mine. And Jesus is looking, not for long. Everything is mine. I give to whoever I want. Just wait 3 years, Satan. Just wait a little bit. And then you're going to have the biggest constipation of your life. You're still constipated. If he says, when you fall from the temple edge and you will bow before me, he says, you only bow down before the Lord your God. Look how Jesus did not allow anyone to come between him and God. This is your model. Move everything aside. The goal of this message is to tell you to move everything aside, even the one that is smiling and the one that loves you is still a middleman. Move him away. Move every middleman. We have one, Bible says, is Jesus. Ask your deacon a question. Can he be like Jesus? Can he? No? Then you're a sorry, sorry copy. Just get away. Who are you? Goodbye. The only way that the Satan can keep you or his position is to be between God and God's children. Notice this. The end will come to the kingdom of Satan, and when we all of us put together, we'll start having a relationship with God. Listen, while in your life, between you and God, there is some sort of element. That element will always be somehow marked by the devil.
Because I'm a person, I'm a human that is being attacked with diseases. Today I'm having diarrhea, tomorrow I'm having this, tomorrow I'm having that. I hope that doesn't happen. But we're just talking about what happens in general. What I'm talking about is, I want to knock on your door a little. Look, while there's somebody between you and God, and it's not Jesus Christ, and can you imagine Jesus Christ? He sacrificed himself so that, and he then came aside so that you can be one-on-one with God himself. Jesus died, and he said, I was here to remove all of the dirt, and then now, you're not my slaves, you are of my family. And you have the right to come before God. When he left, he said, you will do more than I did. As long as there's someone between you and him, there will always be something undeveloped. There will be something in a problem. There will always be a disease. And I don't want to have something between me and God, something that is not complete. Which is why God said, between you and me, no one shall be. And I hope you get this. I hope you understand. And you know why? All these questions, what do you think about it? Can you come? Can you pray for me? Can you feel me? Can you touch me? Can you hug me? Can you kiss me in my cheek and then forehead? Because still, till this day, you hope on a person. He's waiting to kiss you, to hug you personally.
Personally.
all of the services have been put here on earth to bring his children back to Jesus. You need a prophecy until you actually learn how to hear his voice. Now you don't need a prophet. Right now I don't need prophets. For many years, all the prophets do in my life, they just confirm things that God has already said to me, but I don't need them. I don't need teachers because I have learned some things and I said thank you and now I want to learn from him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pastor, he is my pastor and he should be your pastor as well, not me. I'm your older brother. I can just lead you to something and then I can say go on your own. And then if you fall, you fall. And if you have any questions, he'll reply you. Ask him questions. And you see how instant of a reaction or an answer you will get. Somebody writes, I have wrote you a letter a month ago and you're not replying to me. We have a lot of messages. They count, they say, we consider you as our parents. No. God has given birth to you. He is your father. He gave birth to you. We love you. We love you on a distance. Go to Father. There are too many of you guys. Services have been created so that you can come to Christ with the help of prophets. But now, people came between you and Jesus Christ. That services that God has raised up, it was supposed to return the children to Christ, but no, right now it's a dead end that is not letting God's children come to God. Now pastors are, there are so many pastors that control what you do. It's the same thing as I'm taking a bus, putting you in the bus and then drive you and drop you off at school. Alright, you say, I was born through you. Yes, that's how it is. We cannot give birth to anyone, right? Everything is born through the Spirit of God, and we allowed him to come out through us. I put my brothers and sisters into my van, I get them to school, I open the door and say, now go. That's all I can do, that's all you can do. Go there. Communicate with him. And when you're going to come to me, and I will still send you back to him. And you say, I don't hear his voice. How long were you trying to hear his voice? A month, two? Well, I told him and he never replied, so I left. That doesn't work. You have to learn to hear his voice. He turned into control. Everything is now in the middle with you and Jesus. And now they control every step of God's children. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking to the next generation of evangelists, pastors, leaders, and listen to me carefully, the next generation, because the conversation with the old generation is impossible. They are so full of control, and they will never let go of that. They're not letting go their incomes, their jobs, their money. They're not going to let their buildings, their churches, their positions. It's that generation that has to be turned around. I'm sorry that I'm so sharp, but it is that what God told me to tell you. It needs to be removed. And I'm speaking to the next generation that is listening to me right now, here, and all those who are here, who are in the services right now, you are just pointing where God is. Don't take his position. Because God will punish you. Nobody can be between you and God. For you to be in between, you have to be God. Are you God? No. Then please go. Matthew 23:4. God is being a little mad here. Matthew 23:4. I like this. They make strict rules and try to force people to obey them. Listen to me carefully. If people try to do things for the camera, they try to do everything to show off. They like to take positions because people bow down before them. Yeah, they like front rows. We put all of this stuff in here because the front rows are not good enough no more. Give me a chair. Please give me a chair. Let's disconnect that thing. The front row is not good enough. Right now, that's where it's gonna be. My position. What am I doing here? I don't know. Itching something? You know, it's painful to see that, and you look at the preacher or a pastor's preach, and you just look in the back of them, and all those people are sitting there. They don't even know what to do. And they're trying to prove something. We need to remove that. I'm sorry that I'm trying to bring revolution. It needs to be removed from the church. All of this godless stuff needs to be removed for the show-off. What are they doing there? Nothing. They're just itching something. Look, they do everything to show off. Their messages are so wide. And their paintings are so wide and everything is so different. They like when people will welcome them. When they call them teacher, let me bow down before you, teacher. Please go. Let God take that position. It's His position. It's His place, not your bottom, supposed to be sitting there. And all those who are sitting in the back rows, and they all want to be up there. Right there. I know him there. Yeah, I know that guy up front. Woe to you, because you need to know him. You need to forget about that person. I'm sorry, this is my style of preaching. I'm not trying to copy anyone. It's impossible to copy what I do. It's original. They like when people welcome them, how they refer to them, address to them as deacons. It is in the Bible. Don't call anyone a teacher because you have one teacher. And all of you guys are all brothers. You're my brother. I'm your brother. Remove that nonsense. Who puts the levels on people? We are all the children of one Father, and no one can be above. I already give up all of my positions because I want to be your brother. I'm not your teacher. Mine and your teacher is Him. I'm just standing here to let you know what He is saying. It's your right to go or stay here. I'm not obligated of anything, and you're not obligated of anything either. Don't be called a teacher because you have only one teacher. You're all brothers and sisters. Don't refer to anyone as a father because you have only one father. And don't be called the master, because you have only one master, the Christ. I am your master. You're just sitting there relaxed, and I'm sweating here right now. You're laughing right now, but I will get punished for a few things. See, I'm serving you right now. I'm a servant. I'm not a master. You want to be somewhere above. Be a helper. Be the one who stretches out his hand. If you want to be someone big, try to help. Be a servant, not the master. Whoever is your servant is the greatest among you. Whoever makes himself great will be made humble. Whoever makes himself humble will be made great. How terrible for you, teachers, for the law and Pharisees. You are hypocrites. You close the door for people to enter the kingdom of heaven. You yourselves... That was him saying for the future, when there was still, when the current was not broken yet. He said, before he is crucified, before the new era began, he said it to those who controlled everything. He said, you close the door for people to enter the kingdom of heaven. You yourselves don't enter, and you stop others from entering. That's the woe of those people. You know why it's a dangerous position of being the middleman? Because the middleman should be only Jesus. So when you try to be the middleman, you are claiming the position of Jesus Christ. Woe to you, because your punishment will be harsh. We're all kids. We're all disciples. I was speaking about it at the re-encounter yesterday. Everything just flew by you. You did not hear me. I'm saying this again. Or is your stereotype turned on, and you want to go eat, and you want to go to the bathroom, and everything's just, you're just moving around now. Don't worry, we'll go for another round. No, I'm sorry, I'm just joking. I have another service in Portland. I'll let you go soon. Look. Disciple of Jesus. The disciple of Jesus is only a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is, it means that you don't have any other teachers. In the Bible it says, you are my disciples. It's the same as listening to him. Even if I'm telling you something, you don't have to listen to me, you have to listen to him. If all of us hear him and listen to him, we won't have any conflicts. And if we have conflicts right now, that means we're lacking something. We're all disciples of Jesus. We learn from him. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:3, and I'll show you how the Russian translation was so translated bad. It was just translated horrible. It was translated for control. 1 Timothy 3:7. And of this matter I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I do not falsely. It says truth. Truth is him. It's not you. It's not your brother. Truth is truth. And we want to know the truth. God is alone. He's the only one between you and God. He gave himself as to pay a price. He testifies. For such is good and right and pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know preciously and correctly the truth, for there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, as a fact that attested to the right and proper time. And of this matter, I was appointed to preach, and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth of in Christ. I do not falsely. A teacher of the Gentiles and the realm of faith and truth. It says, I was appointed. I was appointed to be a preacher, an apostle. In the other translation, it says completely different thing. There's a new translation, Russian new translation. There's a different translation. They removed that word. And of this matter, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I do not falsely. See this? In other words, this position of Paul represents that he is a teacher who speaks in truth, teaches in truth. Can you imagine how terrible that is? We look back at the new translation. I apologize to the American people because you guys don't have the bad translation as Russians do, so I apologize that you cannot connect to it. And it says in the Bible, this is why I have been appointed for this position, to preach the truth, to be the teacher of truth. It means that he comes and speaks about faith. And in the bad translation, it says that I was appointed to bring the truth. I am the teacher to bring the truth to other people. And I will finish up. Disciple cannot be higher than his master, his teacher. So I am sorry. I don't want your teacher, because if you are my teacher, I will never go further than you are. And if I am your teacher, you will not be, you're not going to go further than I am. So let's all together say that he is my teacher and I want to be like him in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up. I ask you that in this message, in this prayer, you will be very honest with him and you say, God, please point all of those who are middlemen, all of those who are controllers, all the Jezebels who are standing before me and try to have influence on me. Church, you have no idea how serious this is. It might not be here, but all those who are listening and watching us online, if you only knew how serious this is all around the world, control the middleman, how serious it is. Please close your eyes and say to God that that calf would be removed, that idol would be removed, and say quietly, God, I break everything that stands before me and you. I thank you for good teachers, but they are not what I'm striving for. I thank you for the wonderful books. I thank you for the wonderful preachers, but they're not the people what I strive for. I am your disciple. Promise him that you will listen to him if it will take you 2 months to hear his voice once. God, I ask you, raise up your children. Raise up your children. Raise up new formats so that we will be just pointers, directions how to get to God. Remove everything. Remove all the middlemen. Your teacher is Jesus. You have God up in heaven. Tell him, speak to him. Tell him that you are his. I am yours. I was born to be free. I want to know God myself. I want to discover him myself. I don't destroy all the stereotypes. I speak that none of us know God. But I want to know. I want to know you. I want to discover you. I want to discover you. I'm coming to you. I bless my brothers and sisters. I break the spirit of middleman that the religion brought in, Catholicism, charismatic people. I break that curse between you and God. No one should be between you and God, only him and you. Only then you will be able to enter the Sabbath day, the eternal day. He will speak to me himself, and we remove everything that takes the position of middleman. Be removed. We remove the middleman. We remove the middleman. My God is Christ. My teacher is my Holy Spirit. And my God is the God in heaven. Worship him only. Love only him. Be with him only. I am yours. I'm yours.